You have your Bibles this morning. I want you to turn with us to the book of Luke, chapter 17. Again, we appreciate you being here today. And I do find it strange to be preaching on the topic or the subject that the Lord has told me or commanded me to share for today. And again, if I were picking, I would not have picked this. I feel like there are other needs that need to be addressed, but the Lord, just as much as every day this week, has impressed these verses of Scripture on my heart. And the Lord said, they'll be there that need to hear this message. So the Lord has sent you. I don't know specifically who the Lord needs to get their attention. Maybe it's me, maybe it's all of us, I don't know. But these verses just keep running. In fact, verse 32 runs through my mind every day this week of Luke chapter 17. I will ask you to stand. We'll begin reading in verse number 24. You have to understand that the Pharisees are asking Jesus basically what will be the times, what will the days be like when the kingdom of God is ushered into this world. And Jesus is responding to their questions. And he, verse 24, we'll pick up the story, "For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. But first must he suffer many things and be rejected of this generation. And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. And that day he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife. Whosoever shall seek to save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life shall preserve it." We want to discuss today, preaching on this thought, remember Lot's wife. Lord, we pray you to help us today to stand faithfully, courageously, bold and true, and declare the whole counsel of God, that which you've laid on our heart, that which you have shown us, that which you impress on us this very hour to share today. Lord, I pray we'd be obedient in doing so. And Lord, I pray for the people. God, I pray that you would give them the spirit of hearing, that they might hear the word of God, and the spirit of discernment, God, that they might take the message and apply it to their lives and examine themselves. God, we thank you for what you've been doing. But today, Father, there's a work that still must be done. And I pray, God, that that would be accomplished today by you and for you through your Holy Spirit today. God, we pray you'd give us power to preach. And this we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated. The days of the kingdom of God being ushered in were likened unto the days of Noah. The Bible said in the days of Noah that it was only evil continually upon the face of the earth in that time. It specifically says that they were eating and they were drinking and they were marrying wives and they were giving away their sons and their daughters to marriage. And Noah that whole time had been preaching. They did not admonish or acknowledge the message, and yet the flood still came. And then he said, remember the days of Lot. In the days of Lot, in the times of Sodom and Gomorrah, it was such a wicked time. They ate, didn't consider God. They drank, didn't consider God. They bought, didn't consider God. They sold, didn't consider God. They planted, didn't consider God. And they builded, and they did not consider God. In fact, in the days of Lot, the Bible does not say that they were given in marriage. They were shacking up. They were living homosexual lifestyles, lesbian lifestyles. Yeah, that's right. And they were not being married, amen. And that was the time in which Sodom and Gomorrah had fire and brimstone rained upon it. Jesus Himself said, those days of Noah and those days of Lot are going to be the same type days when the Son of Man is going to come and the kingdom will be ushered in. I dare you today to look around America at the day in which we live, the homosexual activity, the shacking up, the lesbian activity, the drinking and all the things that's going on. And what is America doing? We're leaving God out. Our economy is in a pitiful state. I hear the resolution of change is coming. I don't know if it's change for the better or change for the worse. But I'm going to tell you what, God has allowed things to be set up the way they're set up to get America's attention and to get us back on our knees before God. And the biggest problem that started this whole thing is our pulpits quit preaching the Word of God. We quit preaching the blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, we've slipped off into apostasy. And I say that judgment begins first right at the house of God. I dare you this morning, when you look at verse number 32, Jesus gave us a command. I've thought about it all week. It was a command. He said, remember Lot's wife. Nowhere in the Scripture that I could find does it say, remember Abraham. Nowhere does it say, remember Moses. Nowhere does it say, remember Jacob. Nowhere does it say, remember Ruth, or remember Esther, or remember David, or remember Joshua. It does not say, remember them. But it does clearly say, remember Lot's wife. We don't even know her name. I'll just call her Mrs. Lot for the time being today. And when I begin to think about Lot's wife and us being commanded to remember her, to follow through with what God has laid on my heart, I want us all today to consider her story. You may say, oh, I already know all there is to know. God rained down fire and brimstone. She was getting out of town, looked back over her shoulder, and God turned her into a pillar of salt. Big deal. What's that mean today? Oh, there's some things that I think this church needs to consider. I dare say there are folks in the building today that you need to consider Lot's wife. Why, preacher? Listen. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapter number 19. The book of Genesis, chapter number 19. We'll quickly read her story and share just a few things about her life. Genesis, chapter 19. Let's look in verse 15. When the morning arose, this is after the angels have warned that disaster, that doom, that fire and brimstone is coming from God, the judgment of God is going to fall. And might I say this morning, the judgment of God, friend, is going to fall. You may think you're going to slip by. You may think, well, last week we seen 11. I've heard now that somebody else got saved that I didn't know about. 12 people got saved last Sunday. They testified about it this week. 12 people got saved this last Sunday, and maybe the devil said, oh, that's all it's going to get in. I've just got this funny feeling that's on my heart today that there was somebody here last Sunday in the service, and you slipped out of here, and I didn't know if you'd ever have an opportunity to come back to hear the message or not. And maybe some of you, you've considered it. Am I really saved? Am I going to heaven? I want you today, friend, to remember Lot's wife. The Bible said that judgment was certain, it was coming, and when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for thee which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen up upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain, and all the inhabitants of the cities, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. That's significant this morning, I believe. First of all, I want you to consider Lot's wife. Let's remember Lot's wife with her remarkable privileges, the divine favor, the advantages this woman had in her life. She had married a man named Lot, and he had an uncle whose name was Abraham. And Abraham was a man of faith, a man of sacrifice, a man that built altars to the Lord God, a man of worship, a man that would even go and take his own son up to Mount Moriah and be ready to sacrifice him, knowing that the Lord God was fully able to raise him back to life again. The Bible says about Abraham that he was called the friend of God. Now this woman, Lot's wife, she knew about his uncle, Abraham. She knew about his faith. She knew about his relationship with God. Probably upon occasion, many times, she probably saw him slay a sacrifice and offer it as a burnt offering unto the Lord God. She knew and observed all things about worship from the man of God, Abraham. You've been in church. You've got a good family. You've heard the preacher preach. You've seen people get saved. You've heard their testimony. You've seen people come to the altar to worship. Yet you still sit there with all those good influences and those remarkable privileges in your life. You've still not made a real decision. Not only was there Lot's uncle, Abraham, but I want you to consider this man named Lot. In Genesis chapter 13, the Bible says that there was strife between the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham. And they said, look, it's not enough room here for us to dwell together. And Abraham said, I'll tell you what, you choose any area you want to go to, and I'll take what's left. Lot began to make his choice, and he looked out, he lifted his eyes, the Bible said, and he saw a well-watered plain toward Sodom, and he said, I'm going to move my family, I'm going to move my herdsmen, I'm going to move my possessions, we're going over there towards Sodom. Well, he gets over there and he has moved towards Sodom, and I've got to read something here about Lot. In 2 Peter, turn there with me, you've got to see this, chapter 2, before we really begin to put Mr. Lot down for his decision. I want you to read what the Word of God says about Lot. It says about her husband, Mr. Lot. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse number 6. Still thinking about her remarkable privileges. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot. That doesn't mean Lot only. Just means that he was a man that was justified by faith in the Lord. You may say, preacher, I beg to differ. I've studied Lot all my life. I don't believe that he possibly, no way he was saved. Are you going to argue with the Word of God? The Bible says that this man Lot was delivered, the Bible says, delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He was a saved man that went and lived in the city called Sodom. In fact, the Bible says that that man sat in the gate of Sodom, meaning that he was a politician or a respected leader inside that community there. Okay? Her husband was a man of honor and a man of respect inside that community. You may say, well, Lord God, preacher, how could he be an honorable man? How could he be a righteous man when he dwelt down there with them homosexuals and them lesbians, and no doubt as a politician, he had rights to make laws to try to protect them or to help them? Preacher, well, we don't know how he voted. We don't know if he voted for or against, but let me say this to you. How many people do you know that left Mitchell County and moved to Greenville, South Carolina, or Asheville, North Carolina, or moved to New York City, or wherever they moved to because there was a job there? And they left to go after some more money. In fact, you may put them down, but the truth be known, if you had that job offer to go there for a pretty big $20,000 a year raise, glory to God, you'd head that way too. And let me tell you, there's queers, yes, and lesbians in Asheville, North Carolina. They're even calling it the gay mecca of the East Coast. But you ain't slamming nobody for moving there. In fact, my family's from that area. And let me tell you, all across this world today in which we live, there is sin on each and every hand, and you might liken every city and every community, every county, every state, liken in this old sinful world a place like Sodom and Gomorrah. There's things that go on now that Mr. Hollifield wouldn't dare tell me. It would just concern me to death of things that they know going on in our community. It's terrible, the place in which we live. The Bible says that Lot vexed his soul living amongst those people, listening to their filthy conversation. Hey, how is it where you work? How is it where you shop? What kind of things do you see? It's terrible things. Let me say furthermore, before you condemn Mr. Lot, Mr. Righteous Lot, we've all slammed him. Preachers have slammed him for years. Do you remember that these two girls, these two daughters that went with him out of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible tells us that those girls had never known a man. They were virgins. Remember when the angels came there and the men of the city said, we want those angels. We want to know those men that are there. And Lot said, consider my two virgin daughters, my two daughters that's never known. Take them and do what you will with them, but don't mess with the men of God. And the men of the city wanted nothing to do with the women, with those girls. They wanted everything to do with the men of God because they're homosexuals. Can I remind you that those young ladies were virgins probably because their daddy taught them right from wrong? But we do see some areas of compromise in his life. They're there. I mean, he somehow compromised his testimony. He had some other girls that got married there, married men of that city. And when he went and told them the judgment of God is coming, they laughed at him. Some were he had compromised his testimony. Maybe there was a time he voted for some gay policy and said, how can you, with the way you voted, certainly put me down? How can you tell us anything when you're one of the ones that make the laws of this city, Mr. Lot? I dare say to you, before you condemn him, that maybe you ought to look into your own life and see if there's some areas of compromise in your life. Some things that you were supposed to give up and some things that you were supposed to do for righteous living, and you didn't do them. Some decisions you've made where you found a good compromise. Hello. I believe this microphone's on. It's getting quiet in here this morning. This man, when he made a decision, he probably did compromise. He looked towards Sodom. He leaned over there towards Sodom. He lusted after Sodom. He lived in sin, probably, in Sodom. And guess what? Because of that, he's pretty much going to lose it all. But yet, I want you to consider that she did have a husband that the Bible says he was a righteous man. Ain't that what it said? Consider the privileges in her life. She knew Abraham, the man of faith. She had a righteous husband. But dare I say to you this morning, you know the preacher at Bethel Baptist Church. You know your mom and daddy's good Christian people. You know grandpa was a preacher or a deacon. So-and-so sung in the choir. You know so-and-so at such-and-such church. You've got a good relationship with them. But I want to tell you this morning, your relationship to your preacher, to the deacon, to the choir, to the church, to the baptism hole, your relationship, they can baptize you so many times that the tadpoles calls you by name. That does not mean because of your relationship with all these other things that you're saved. I ask you this question. Was Judas Iscariot called by Jesus to be a disciple or not? He was. That means that Judas had a relationship with Jesus Christ. Not one of salvation, but one on a working, knowledgeable relationship. Consider just for a moment the privilege that Judas had to be one of the 12 and the things that he saw as he walked with the Lord. Consider his privilege. He knew better. Yet, his relationship with Jesus, he still betrayed him. And is not a saved man. Even though he had a head knowledge of who he was, but not a heart knowledge. I dare tell you this morning, you may know that there is a God in heaven and that He has a Son named Jesus Christ who died on a cross and was buried and was raised on the third day. You may have a head knowledge. Hey, the devils believe and tremble. But I say to you, if you've never had a one-on-one experience where you've bowed your head before the Lord Jesus Christ and you said goodbye to this world, goodbye to my so-called friends, goodbye to that alcohol, goodbye to that partying, goodbye to that gambling. If you've not said goodbye to those things, I question you. Remember Lot's wife and the privileges that she had to hear men who called on the Lord, to hear men that had faith and exhibited in front of her. Consider her privilege. Let me say second of all, knowing the facts, she was given the opportunity to believe. Go back with me to Genesis 19. She was given the opportunity to believe. Yet we know that she squandered all of it and walked away and perished. I want you to consider, secondly, her recorded problems. What are the failures in her life? I mean, she got out of Sodom, but she was turned into a pillar of salt. Was she saved or not? Well, the angels had said, escape to the mountain. And Lot said, we can't make it to the mountain. I've been out there before. It's a wilderness. I can't make it. But if I could get to the city of Zoar, we could live there. The angel said, good enough. That'll do just fine. That's what a compromiser Lot was. He was always trying to make a deal with God. Hey, some of you right now trying to decide, am I saved or am I not? Trying to make a deal with God. Well, if the preacher will do this, then I'll know I'm saved. Or so-and-so will do that, I'll know I'm saved. If he mentions this word, if he says the word river, I'll know that I'm saved. If he says the word baptized, I'll know that I'm... Listen, that's a bunch of junk. Listen, you'll have no greater sign than one arose from the dead to save your soul. You'll never have a greater sign. And that still small voice still speaks to you today about being saved. Think about this woman's failures. First of all, I think about her unbelief or her disbelief. She was warned of God, escape to the mountain. Can't get to the mountain. Let's go to the city. Okay, that'll be fine. Go to the city. There'll be refuge there. But guess what happened? She did not believe God. He said, escape for thy life. So she leaves the city. Can you see her? As she locks her little door. You know your house you left this morning. You got a little dog there. It needs to be watered. It needs to be fed after a while. It needs to be petted on. Left the animals. Left her bank account. Left her little bridge club. Oh, how she loved to go play a few cards
with her friends. She loved to get down at the local restaurant and just shuffle a few cards and eat her a good old BLT. Oh, what good fellowship that was. She enjoyed all the things of Sodom. She had a little soap opera she was watching. Oh, she couldn't stand to miss that thing on Monday morning. Here she is trying to leave over the weekend. Oh, I miss my programs. What'll I do? And they ain't got no DVRs. They ain't got no TiVo. They ain't got no tape machines. They ain't even got no TV there in Zoar. What are they going to do? What am I going to do? I got two girls that won't go with me. At least two, maybe three. They got sons-in-law. And maybe they got youngins. I can't leave my grand-youngins behind. Oh, I love the things back there. And God said, you escape for your life and don't look behind you. Is that not what He said? Well, she's escaping. She's leaving. But Lot's on ahead of her. Bible said she was behind him. Look at verse 26. She was behind him. She is somewhere behind him. He's done entered into Zoar. He's gone into safety. And she's not yet got to the gate of the city. She's on her way. She's step by step trying to follow him. Knowing I know I need to be saved. I know I need to go there. But I tell you, I just love the things. I mean, we got a new car. Oh, I love to drive it. It's so much fun. I don't want to be taken away from a new car. I can't imagine all this brimstone and ashes ruining my new car. I mean, listen, it's a Mazda. Boy, I love it. I've been longing for that Chevrolet for so long. What on earth am I going to do? So she looks back and says, she hears the destruction of the city. She looks back. Long, not just a simple, not just some small something. She did not believe God. God said, don't look behind you. The devil said, listen, it's okay. Take a peek. Get a good look at it. I want to say to somebody here today, you are saved. You're saved. You keep looking back to your past life, the fun that you used to have, the parties you used to go to, the friends you used to run with. In fact, you've just run across one or two of them in a nice little bit, and they said to you, we ought to get together. And you said, yeah, we ought to. We had good times back then. You know full well what that means. You put yourself into a place where you're going to fail. You're going to be tempted with drinking and tempted with speaking those dirty jokes that you quit telling. You're getting ready to look back. God told me to come in this church and tell you, don't you look back to the past. God's put you in a place. He said all systems go full speed ahead. Step on put the pedal to the metal and follow me. And all of a sudden you want to slow down and look back and say, oh, for how it used to be. Amen. It's going to get you in trouble. She did not believe God. You may sit here today and say, preacher, I believe you're crazy. I mean, it's okay to look back every now and then and fall into things and do things. Hey, if God told you to give something up, there was a time in my life, you're going to laugh, but there was a time in my life I had mud flaps on my truck. I had Yosemite Sam, that cartoon character. He had his guns ablazing on the mud flaps of my truck. Down underneath it, it said, back off. I bought that truck used. Them was on there. I kind of liked them. They looked cool on that little old truck. Said, that preacher's a redneck. Yeah, I guess I am. I like that truck. And God spoke to me and said, you get rid of them mud flaps on your truck. I looked off the Bible. I couldn't find anywhere it said, thou shalt not have mud flaps with Yosemite Sam on your truck. I said, God, it's right here. You showed me, Lord. He said, I told you. How's it going to look when you get in front of the hearse all the way to the funeral? Back off. I took them off, threw them in the dumpster. Now some preachers would have jumped up in the pulpit and said right there, well, this is what God showed me. And now none of you, if you've got Yosemite Sam on your truck, you're just going to hell and you got to get right. That's not right doctrine. You see, that's what God told me. That I, and for he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is a sin. God told me what to do, and He expected me to fully believe Him and follow Him. And He told that woman and her husband and her daughters, you escape for your life, and don't you look behind you. And God has commanded you and I, remember Lot's wife, escape for your life, and don't look back to your past life. How many times did He heal those men that were paralyzed? And He'd say, take up your bed and walk. He didn't want to show everybody how strong they were, that they could carry a sort of perfect sleeper all over Spruce Pine. That's not what he was trying to do. He said, I want you to pick up your bed so you don't go back to that old sin you've been laying in, rotting there and laying there around. He said, I want you to get up and live for me now. Don't go back to where you were before. I'm telling somebody today, you're tempted to go back. Bless God, don't you go back. Amen. Well, not only was she disobedient, I don't know, in disbelief, but she was disobedient. God told her what to do, and she did not do it. Hey, you remember the prodigal son? He was living there at the father's house, blessed of God, but he got to thinking about the world. And he looked towards the world, and he said, Daddy, give me what's mine, and I'm on my way. And he went out to the world, and the Bible said he wasted it all on riotous living. He said he didn't believe God. He lost it all, but then he remembered, oh, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to eat and to spare, and here I am perishing with hunger. He said, I'll arise and go to my father, and this is what I'm going to say. Father, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against heaven. Oh, God, would you forgive me? Can you realize how he practiced his speech? He said, I've got to talk with the Father into forgiving me and letting me come home. And I'll just be one of his hired servants. Hey, glory to God, you ain't got to talk God into nothing. He's already waiting on you and said, you had me as soon as you put a footstep in my direction. You trusted me and you were obedient to my voice. And you believed me. You had me there. Hallelujah. I want to tell you what that boy did get right with God. His father, he did come home. Lot's wife and her disobedience and her unbelief, she went one step too far. When she turned back, it was over. Maybe there was deception in her life. I want you to consider this morning, church. Maybe Lot, Mr. Lot, and his two girls thought Mrs. Lot saved. She's been a good wife. She's not been a lesbian. She's not been embracing homosexual values. She's raised their daughters to be virgins. They've lived a good life. She's supported me in my religion. She's supported me when I went to the church at First Baptist of Sodom. And she's been a good politician's wife. She's not brought a reproach upon my name. I believe she's probably right with God. Her daughters probably thought, you know, her mama's a fine woman. She's a good lady. She stands for what's right. She does what she knows to do. And maybe she had everybody, maybe the First Baptist Church of Sodom, she had everybody fooled down there. But she didn't have God fooled. She had maybe stood up and professed, I know Jesus. I remember when Lot was praying, or Abraham was praying, God, would you deliver the city if there's 50 righteous? Yep. 45? Yep. 40? Yep. 30? Yep. 20? Yep. What about 10, Lord? If there's 10 people righteous in Sodom, I'll deliver it for 10. The First Baptist Church of Sodom didn't have 10 righteous people in it. I don't even read where the pastor got out. Maybe he wasn't even saved. I want to say something to you this morning. Just because you carried a King James Bible in this building today, I hope you brought one, that don't mean you're saved. And just because you've been baptized, that don't mean you're saved. Right down here at the parsonage, I was living there, a man come down there and said, I want to show you, I got a baptismal certificate. What does that mean to you? I said, that means you took a bath. He said, but such and such church said I'm saved and this is my baptism. I said, did you have a one-on-one experience with Jesus? Was there a time you knelt on your knees and said, oh God, would you forgive me? I'm a sinner. I believe you died for me on the cross. I believe that you were buried and you rose again. I believe you've convicted my heart of my sins. And I'm going to ask you today, would you forgive me and save me? He said, I never did that. I never did that. He said, I joined the church by baptism. And you just had a bath. It's not in your baptism and it's not in who you are and what kind of Bible you... Listen... It is in that you have had a personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when God was dealing with her to get out of town, she looked back longingly for the world and said, I cannot trade the world for heaven. I cannot trade destruction. I cannot trade death for life. Oh, how deceiving the devil is. I want to ask you something, preacher. I want to ask you something. Do you see anywhere when his wife was lagging behind him that he prayed for her? That he encouraged her? In fact, the angels had to get him out of his seat and get him to get up while he lingered and pulled them out of town. And when he, knowingly, he wouldn't look back, but he didn't even pray for her. He didn't encourage her to come on with him. I don't know, I feel like I ought to say something to some husband. I don't know, I'm just shotgun this morning. I ought to say something to some husband this morning. You need to pray for your wife.
Amen.
You know she's struggling. You know she's struggling. You need to pray for her. I want to say something. It might be some wife and they know their husband's struggling. And you know they're lagging behind just a little because they're allured and enamored with the world and all of the things of God, and they're struggling. Why don't you just pray for them? Why don't you just try to encourage them instead of putting them down and slamming them? Why don't you try loving them for a change? I want to say something to some parent. You got a little girl. You got a little boy. You know you're supposed to be escaping out of this world. And you notice they get tied up with parties. You don't know where they always are. They get tied up with some boy that's of the world. And they kind of linger a little bit behind. Don't give up on them. Don't you give up on them. Old Lot was a righteous man who was vexed daily by the filthy conversation of the world, but I think he almost forgot about his family. Don't you get in that position today, God says. Let me close with this. She had a real punishment. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 29, verse 1, he that being often reproved and hardened his neck shall be suddenly destroyed, and that without remedy. She didn't believe God. She disobeyed Him. She said, I know God said that, but I don't believe it. And she looked back, and she was become made into a pillar of salt. 5'3". Wait, I don't know how much. There she is, turned into a pillar of salt. Lot gets a Zohar with his two daughters. Where's my wife? Where's she at? Where's Mama? Where's Mama? She didn't make it. She's worn. She had remarkable privileges. But she wouldn't believe God. You hear me this morning? God moved in this church in a mighty way last week. He's wanting to do even more today. You're either going to believe Him and say, I want to get right with God, or not. But you got a little family who, they love you. You've acted like everything's okay. I mean, my grandma, 30-some years old, had little young'uns, taught a Sunday school class. She had deceived them all. The preacher had come to her house. She had got one of them glorified birds, fixed one up for him. He come to the kitchen table and he said, Rhea, when are you going to give your heart and life to Jesus Christ? Over the dinner table. She said, right now, preacher, I want to be saved. She had deceived everybody. She said, I went back to the church. She said, I stood up and said, I'm so sorry, y'all, for the way I've acted. I said, I saved, and I'm really not. And you know what? Before she could get her apology out, this done running to her and grabbing her and loving her and stopped her from her apology and said, we're just glad you got saved and you're going to go with us now. This woman, she had a real punishment, serious punishment. She turned into a pillar of salt. Preacher, ain't that a little extreme? I mean, one little look back, that's just a small sin. And a pillar of salt forever? I mean, hell is her eternal punishment? Ain't that a little extreme? Does the punishment fit the crime? Yeah. God said, you don't believe me about my son Jesus, you're going to hell. You don't believe me about what I say, you're going to hell. Friend, you don't have to go there. You don't have to go there. There's going to be no second chances, though, for her. I wonder today if we was over there in that area just outside the gate of Zohar. I don't know how close she was to making it in. No doubt, she was close. She had left destruction. She was on her way. And she thought about it and looked back. Holy Ghost ministered that to me this week and said, hey, somebody at your church. I dealt with them last week. They felt the Spirit of God. If somebody, you wasn't here, but somebody went and told you, and you've come in here today, and they're ready, I've been dealing with them, they've about made up their mind this week, I'm going to get saved. I don't care what my husband says. Good. I don't care what my wife says. Good. I don't care what the church thinks about it. Good. I've been teaching Sunday school. I don't care what. No, I don't care if it hurts the devil. Good. I'm going to get saved. But I remind you this morning that you started to last week. And you thought about it. And thought, what will they think? How can I step away from my friends? And how can I leave behind the parties and the good times that I've had? I don't know if I can give it up. Let me tell you something. I've never been sorry since the day I trusted Jesus. I'll never forget the night I broke up with the devil and said, sir, me and you, our relationship's over. I'm tired of your lying, snobbing old ways, trying to steal my life away from me. I'm going to go to Jesus. When I knelt there at the front pew because my legs wouldn't carry me no further, Jesus came and met me right then and there and saved my sin-sick soul when I called on Him. It ain't never been the same. And I'll tell you what, I don't want to look back to the life I was living, the things I said, the things I did. I'm ashamed of those things. I don't want to look back, go back. I don't even want to think about it. You hear me this morning? God's wooing some soul this morning. You've had a testimony, Daddy, that you're saved, but you know you ain't really. What will my boys think? Well, what will they think when we get to the funeral home and I have to stand up and say I don't know whether they're really saved or not? What are they going to think when they get to heaven and say, where's Daddy at? And Father says he didn't make it. He didn't really trust me. He said he did, but he never did it. I want to say something to you today, church. I'm tired of this empty-handed religion. People come in playing church, tiddlywinks with God. This ain't some game. It's not some fairy tale. It's real. And I don't want you to looking back anymore. It's time for you to come and trust God and go full speed ahead to a place called safety, a place called life, a place called heaven. Now be your time. There's somebody here, you know some of your family lagging behind. Ooh. Ooh, it's... Spirit's wooed them. They've been impressed with the Holy Ghost, but they've never turned it over to Him. Your mind thinks about them right now. I'm going to ask you to stand. I've preached well long enough. Lord, today I pray You'd take the service. God, You've had it the whole time. Would You move today? God, would You move amongst us, God, in spite of our old human flesh and frailties? God, would You give us faith today? Would You help us to trust You in Jesus' name? Amen. Someone would come to the piano, please, and the organ. I want to face somebody here say, I believe, first of all, he's some Christian today, that you've just been so tempted to look back to some things. You can come. I believe it with all my heart. Say some mom or some daddy. Say some husband or some wife. You know that they're in trouble. Would you come pray for them today? Maybe you got little youngins. Maybe it's in your Awana class. Maybe you need to pray for some of them youngins in your Sunday school or your Awana class. You know what they're facing at home. Maybe you've got a family member. Oh, today when you think about Lot's wife, she's forever doomed. Forever doomed. The Bible says if Saul's lost his favor, it's only fit to be trodden under the feet of men. It's only fit for the dunghill. Would you come today? I want to face somebody today and say, preacher, I want you to take off that old microphone. I want you to come over here and pray with me. Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to be saved.